Well, now that we kind of get back on schedule on KMAN's In Focus here on a Tuesday morning, and on the second Tuesday of the month, we typically have time set aside for a Riley County Commissioner, and today in the rotation is Commissioner Marvin Rodriguez. Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Certainly doing well for a Tuesday. It's been quite a crazy few weeks, crazy few months, and you know this. I don't know if this is going to be the last opportunity that we'll have to visit with you here as part of In Focus before your term comes to an end in January. But boy, you've had a lot to work on in the last 4 years, haven't you?
Oh yes, one of the first things I found was radios weren't working right,
mm-hmm.
and. You couldn't get communication out, and sometimes it got garbled, so people didn't go to the proper address, especially the ambulance or maybe police, because when you do a fire, you go to the smoke and fire, so you always see that. The ambulance was always not that way. There were places we couldn't reach in the county, even areas where you had full foliage of trees, radio waves wouldn't go through, and we couldn't get a hold of people, and even when we had an officer down about 2 years ago or so, maybe a little bit more, he was at Frank Bergman School and he couldn't even radio in. He had to use his phone. So we now have a system that went from 50% coverage in the county to almost 99%. And it's crisp and it's very clear. And you can actually hear it without a problem on the radios we have, and we've had to build 5 new towers. We are getting requests for other people to put their equipment on it, which is going to help to lower the cost. But included in that is K-State, Riley County Fire, Ambulance, Law Enforcement. Fort Riley wanted a little bit on it because what they do when they go out to Fort Riley, into the community, and they need to use the radio, and it helps them. Pott County on the western side likes it. Clay County has looked at it. So it's really, we're doing good on it, really are. So,
well,
we're pleased.
That's been a work in progress for a long time, and it seems like finally, you know, that things are up and running, and that has been, mandated by the federal government to make to get into new frequencies, and it didn't come out without considerable cost, and I know that it's been a big challenge, especially with Pat Collins. I think that was one of his goals before he decided to leave at the end of the year, that he wanted to make sure that he had to see this through.
Yeah, and he's doing it, and so we're I believe in the final phases of it. Probably about 1% effort left in it to get it to where it's supposed to be, but it's up and running, and we've had excellent results from it. We got a loan from the Department of Agriculture, which kept our price down, but it was somewhere between $10 and $12 million total cost. This is going to be in it spread over 10 years, I believe. So
mm-hmm.
To keep the cost down, and so it's doing well, and it's really well needed. As I understand it, this has been kicked down the road since 1997, so I think it's important that we get this done, and we did get it done, and now we have much, much better control and service for the community.
Well, and, you know, there are a lot of factors, you know, you talk about kicking the can down the road. There are a lot of changes and a lot of adjustments over the years.
It
had been a problem since the 1970s, but, you know, when there became the need because, you know, the FCC decided to utilize some frequencies that we were using in other ways. That made a big shift, and obviously, you know, Pat Collins saw it through.
All of it, what you said is true. And so I think that we took the bull by the horns on this one and just did it.
Well, and I think, you know, you're taking a slow process because there have been so many things, you know, the towers are one thing, but also the radios themselves that emergency services folks use, you know, those have been replaced, you know, so many a year for several years.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a practical process. in order to try to keep cash flow as, you know.
Yeah, and that's the big part of it, the cash flow, the what it's going to do to the community and stuff. So it took a little time, and I know that when you were on there, you guys had certain priorities you needed to get done. Sometimes you don't have the time, facilities, or the way to get it done like you want to. So the kicking down the road thing is, in some cases, it's just not to raise taxes. The other is you couldn't get it done within the systems that and things that are happening at the time.
And the need doesn't necessarily keep up with the technology, or the technology doesn't keep up with the need.
Yeah,
more likely.
But, yeah.
Well,
things are much better now.
As you look back in the 4 years, and you know, obviously in 2020, there's been, you know, the rule is, or not the rule, but it's been dominated by COVID. What are some of the things that as you exit the office in the beginning of January, that you'll take away, and you know, as moments of pride for you?
Well, I look at the radios as one. I look at the fact that one of the first things I did as a commissioner within the first, well, it actually started on the second year I was there, but we do have the only existing health department on a military base in the whole United States. And it was put there for the convenience of the young soldiers, to do the WIC program and several other programs that the younger couples have. And so a doing thing, and I think it's really, really good. That's one of them. I really look at the fact that just before I got on, we had a new health department director. But with what was done with it, with the approval of the county, is that we operate in Pott County, Clay County, Gary County, part of Dickinson County, on supervising the kids, daycare centers and things like that, mm-hmm. that are the small ones that are retail and big ones or whatever. But we're doing such a good job with it and handling it that the state actually has us doing the other counties, surrounding counties, because we were able to handle it. And we had a good director before, and now we have Julie Gibbs, and she's doing an excellent job on stuff. And that's, I think, attributes to the way the county works and the people of the county and how they allow us to make these decisions for the people and the well-being of them. So I think we've done a good job with that.
Talked about the hiring. You talked about Julie Gibbs, and one of the most difficult things, I think, for a commissioner is hiring.
Yes, it is.
Department heads, and mm-hmm. There are a couple of key department heads. You know, Monty Weedle resigned, retired earlier mm-hmm. this year. Pat Collins mm-hmm. is going to be retiring. Leon mm-hmm. Hobson. Yeah. And those are big shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah. So we do have new directors with fire and emergency management. We've got a new director with the head of the shops, county engineer. We have a new director for human resources. We have a new director in planning and zoning. And all that took time to find. But I think we have good people in there that they will be there for years to come. And they'll do an excellent job, because all of them, once they got in, they jumped in with both feet and just continued on what the previous directors were doing, and I think it's a great asset.
We're visiting today with Riley County Commissioner Marvin Rodriguez. And, Commissioner, there's obviously the election has been a big focus of every government level. And let's talk a little bit first about what you foresee coming up on Thursday the 16th as you and Ron Wells and Commissioner Ford will be seated as the Board of County Canvassers. This is kind of an unprecedented, well, maybe not unprecedented, but this is a unique time in the county's history with, you know, one county commission seat still up for grabs here a week after the election.
It is.
Do you, What's the seating capacity going to be at the chamber's the commission's chambers?
Well, in trying to do our part in social distancing and wearing a mask in there, and we will probably take up the area pretty much with the canvassers on it, because they have a big table they got to put out there, you probably have seen before, and they'll go through all of how many votes each candidate got. We're going to look at the provisionals and some of the others that came in that were postmarked before the election or on the day of the election, and look at some of those that we have to do. There's not that many, but there are a few. I think maybe, I'm trying to remember if he said 1,000 that we have to go through.
Yeah, there are 1,400. 1,416, something like that, provisional ballots to go through.
That will be looked at, and it could make the decision in District 3 who will be the commissioner. And it's a very, very close race. So looking at that, and I know that the county has an excellent team, and they do an excellent job on it. So, and that's the only thing probably is going to be the big thing on there. And there will be one commissioner happy, another one that says, by golly, I tried. And so we'll see what happens with that one. But I capacity, now that we're live streaming, it's a little bit better because people can actually watch it.
Yeah. Commissioner Rodriguez, what kind of feedback have you gotten from people in within your district with regards to how things operated in 2020 with the election process?
I've had pretty good results from it. They all feel it went well. And it was an exciting race on it. I did lose out in the primary, but I think the general went well. And it was a tight race up until almost to the end. But it did show that, you know, people voted. One of the nice things I thought happened is when you try to get people interested in running, I know when I ran, I was the only one running against the current commissioner at that time. So it was just kind of a one-sided, one political party. But now I really feel good that we had quite a few people run in District 2 because it was 4. And actually 3 different parties. They had a Libertarian, a Democrat, and several Republicans. And so we had, an effort to get people out and get involved in the political system. I think it was good.
We're going to take a break, Commissioner Rodriguez. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some county things, including talk about City of Manhattan residents voting to pass a half-cent sales tax issue and how that affects what the county has been working with. It's K-Man's In Focus. We'll be back with Commissioner Rodriguez in just a moment on News Radio KMAN.